All right, welcome to the Flyover Special. It's me, as always, BJ Robbins. I'm usually on Fresh and Clean with Morgan and Nate. They're on assignment. We're going to do some special episodes. It's October right now. That's my version of spooky music right there that I made. But I have a special guest with me from my hometown. There's a lot of talented people down there. I got Mr. Mason Loster with me.
Hey, how's it going? It's good to be back, man. It's been a while.
It's been a while. He's been on, he was on Smugcast two times. He was the bass and vocals of These Fine Gentlemen. And he also has a lot more fun stuff he does besides do rock and roll, as the kids say. He's also the owner at Dreadworks. So welcome, Mason.
Thanks, man. Yeah, since we've last really talked officially on the record, I guess you could say, life has changed quite a bit. So
do you still do the band?
Yeah, so...
But you also did wrestling too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Wrestling, I mean, is definitely not so much a thing anymore. I might, like, get involved maybe once or twice a year in some local shows, but that's about it. I still got a lot of buddies that do it, so, you know, every now and again they'll hit me up and be like, hey, we're doing something really cool, you want to join? And, yeah, sure, why not?
How old are you now?
I'm 29.
All right, so your body can still take a little bit.
Yeah, but I'm 29 and a hefty boy.
So. I'm 43 and hefty, so like I did three matches, and I did it at 19, 20, and 21, and nice. I was gassed and sore.
Oh yeah, I mean if you haven't done it in a long time, and you get in the ring and like just try to do a match, I mean it takes so much conditioning for your body to really be able to handle it, and I mean you would think just by watching it like it's not all that, you know, like. I don't know what the word I'm looking for. Like,
strenuous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, when you got your adrenaline pumping so much and, I mean, your heart's beating, I mean, it's really easy to lose your breath quick.
Yeah, I got my worst concussion getting hit with a sign that said no head in parking, which obviously on the East Coast, that means don't park in a certain way.
Right.
And it was autographed by Dan Severn because he was at the Seymour Armory that night.
Yeah.
And shout out to Rip Rogers. He let us just do whatever he wanted to do.
Right on.
And so we were power bombing elbows, and me and my brother came out as the Mexicans. I'm pretty sure now that wouldn't be. We had on white beaters and flannels, and only button to the top and bandanas.
That's pretty. Yeah, that's. I don't know if that would fly in today's world.
And my brother decided to start shooting. He did not follow the plan of the double cross, and so. But no, that was a lot of fun. And then not doing the band as much. The reason we wanted to talk was we were go through and I was looking at you started in kind of the makeup world, but also the haunted house world. How long have you been involved with the haunted house world?
Haunted house world, it's been about, I think this year is like 15 years. And then the makeup was like a couple years after I got into that. So
was this something as a kid you're like, I love horror?
I've always loved scary stuff.
My brother is a huge horror fan. I liked it, but like I was always mad because the people got killed right at the sex scene. And at that, I was like, I am done with Jason. Because if you remember Jason in the RV,
yeah,
it gets turned to the sideways as he's about to get laid.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they might show like a pair of tits in every movie, but then, I mean, you're right. You're right. Every time.
Talk about endurance. Jason has some endurance.
But, I mean, growing up, I remember, like, going to my grandma's, like, during the summer and stuff when my parents were at work, and I basically grew up watching, like, Goosebumps and the old Are You Afraid of the Dark and all that stuff. So that is really what I say started my interest in all the horror movies and all that stuff. So, I've always been a fan, and it just kind of come out of nowhere with the haunted house stuff. One of my dad's best friends for years, he always loved Halloween, and we'd go to his house. He always had like really cool masks and stuff, and I was really good friends with his daughter growing up. I mean, our parents were best friends since high school, so, you know, naturally we were friends, and he got a hold of me one day, and he's like, hey, me and my daughter, we're going to go audition at Fear Fair. You want to come?
Where is that located at?
That was in Seymour.
Seymour.
Well, when it first started, it was the old Shields High gym.
Okay. I went to one down there, one when they first started when I was in, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm 43 or 29. So, and it was weirdest because the guy with the chainsaw, obviously he didn't have the chain on it, but kept trying to touch my hoo-ha. And I was like, I don't know if they really, because now when you go to them, there's so much more like professional, but this is like, back and we did a haunted hayride once, and I actually got to perform in that one with the chainsaw.
With
the chain on. I don't know why no one took that off.
That's pretty sketchy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of how it all started. Just went out and auditioned for that. Now, that there's a whole crazy story behind that, actually, within the past year, too. They've been out in Freeman Field now for, gosh, I think damn near 20 years. But actually, this year, they didn't open, and there's no plans in the future to open, which sucks. Big ordeal right now going on. Long story short, some girl, they have like a big midway out there for before you go into the haunted house, games and stuff. Basically, a lady kind of took it upon herself to climb the rock wall while there was no attendant and got to the very top, fell down all the way to the gravel.
Oof.
And sued them. So basically, insurance dropped them and nobody will touch them. So
yeah, it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a tough situation. But, you know, I mean, I think Brett, the owner, I think he was ready to kind of start living his life a little bit more. I mean, he's getting older and that was his life. You know?
How much effort goes into to pull that off? I know it's ton, but like how much planning goes into it? Because, you know, some people wear staples and do the same thing every time, but how much planning? Because not everybody returns to be a performer in it.
Yeah, that's a problem all on its own that happens with haunted houses everywhere. And it doesn't matter if you're a volunteer haunted house or if you pay. I mean, people just don't show back up every year. It happens. So staffing is always an issue. But, I mean, as much as it takes to do it every year, it's insane. I mean, and I always have people that, you know, I'll be talking about, I remember, like, over summer going to work at the haunted house, help out with, you know, building. You guys are working on that now? It's only July. And it's like, yeah, we work on it year-round. I mean, it's when you're doing a big budget show like that that's got sets that are just phenomenal, I mean, it's a year-round. As soon as it closes, basically, you take off until December. And then first of the year, we're tearing stuff down. Demoing stuff to put new scenes in. And Brett, he would like to bite off more than he can chew every year, and he would like to redo like 3/4 of the haunt every year. So it was a lot. But I mean, yeah, a lot of these big haunted houses around this area and all over, really, I mean, they're working year round building, renovating. It just depends on how much they want to redo every year, really.
Yeah. And then so how much training goes into once you get there? Like, did you train people in there on how to be in there? Like, getting in the, because there's a lot of acting that goes into it.
Yeah. Nowadays, training is a lot bigger than it used to be when I started. Basically, when I started, it was like, you know, we showed up. And they called it an audition, but it really wasn't, or like a casting call. Basically, we show up, they give you a tour of the haunted house, you show up on opening night, and they say, hey, here's where your spot is, and that's how it used to be. Nowadays, usually, a lot of the bigger haunted houses, they're doing classes all summer long, workshops with their people, whether it's acting training or makeup training, even management training. It's become such a big industry, and a lot of people don't realize how big it is. I mean, it doesn't seem like it, but I'm sure there's, I don't know the exact numbers, but millions and millions of dollars that go into the industry. But yeah, training is a big part of it nowadays, especially with a lot of big haunts. So I did a little bit of that. We talked a little bit before we started. A couple years ago, I was working full-time in the haunted house industry, which is kind of a long story that kind of pigeonholes into the company that I run now. But, yeah, so.
What made you want to start your own? Like, it's on the makeup. I know it sounds weird. Every time I say makeup, but it's on, I want to say it's like the visual side of it, because it's the makeup and airbrushing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What made you want to get into that?
Well, that's, it's kind of a long story. I mean, obviously, I started doing makeup years ago at Fear Fair, and it kind of just started out like, hey, we started noticing a lot of the haunted houses around the Midwest were really up in their makeup game. And, I mean, we were still doing, like, raccoon eyes and, you know, all the fake blood that you can possibly get your hands on. But then we wanted to up our makeup game, so it kind of started out. It was like, hey, who wants to learn how to do makeup? And so we kind of got a group of people together at Fear Fair. We brought in some people from other haunts that were a lot more experienced than we were to kind of do like little mini seminars. And they taught us, kind of showed us the ropes on how to do some better makeup. And then that just evolved over the years. It basically turned into airbrush makeup, which is the main kind of medium for haunted houses nowadays, is just airbrush because it's so much quicker than doing all the latex and fake blood and grease paint. But how it all turned into me owning my own company, being in the industry for so long, I've met a lot of people and knew a guy, me and some buddies, knew this guy. He decided he was going to start kind of his own, chain haunted house business, if you will. And, basically bought like 10 haunted houses across the U.S. and got a hold of me and another buddy of mine and was like, hey, I'm starting this. I want to bring you guys on as kind of like the executive group with a couple other people to run this. And you guys are going to travel around, to all the haunted houses that we own, train people, renovate haunted houses, build haunted houses. So for me, it was like a dream job, you know, like I've been doing this haunted house stuff at that time for probably 12 years.
And that was not your full time. That was just something you did.
At that time. Yes,
it still was.
At that time before this guy approached, us, no, it was just a side gig, but this guy approached us and basically offered us, yeah, like full time, pay you a salary and, yeah, you travel around and do this. So,
oh wow,
yeah, it was like a dream job for me. You know, I mean, something I love so much. A lot of promises were made at the beginning, but kind of funny thing was in the middle of all this, they owned all these haunted houses. They also bought a prop and a mask company, and kind of it started out as a joke. They're like, you know, we should learn how to make our own makeup because we're spending so much every year for 10 haunted houses on good quality makeup. Why don't we just learn how to make it for ourselves and then we can sell it and basically have our own makeup for free.
So there's a huge difference between Dollar General makeup and then you can get makeup for like $5, right? Like we did it like I did in the 80s. And then now it's like, I couldn't even, because I know some mask alone can be thousands of dollars and makeup can be, like, what do you think you would spend on a year if you had to pay for it as a character in a haunted house? What would you have to pay for your makeup?
Do you mean the haunted house buying the makeup for the whole season?
Like no, like just for you as an individual.
Just for me as an individual.
If I got hired, said, "Hey, you're gonna play a zombie, but you have to get your own makeup."
For a season, I'd say at least probably $300 at least, and that's if you're just using airbrush. The main kind of makeup that everyone uses nowadays, it's alcohol-based airbrush makeup. So it's alcohol, and it's waterproof, sweatproof. You spray it on, it dries almost instantly.
Wow.
And, I mean, that's not something that you're going to go to Walmart or even Spirit Halloween or something. You're not going to find that kind of stuff there. Most of that stuff's going to be online only from companies like what I'm doing now. But yeah, that's kind of where it all started. It was a joke at first, like we should learn how to do this. Then we started kind of talking more serious, and I spent, gosh, it was probably 4 months basically working from home. I had like literally like a little laboratory almost set up in my living room, learning as much as I can, doing R&D on how to make an alcohol airbrush makeup and how it works. And it was a super long process of, you know, learning how ingredients work and whatnot. And, you know, of course, we looked up all the logistics on this beforehand. I mean, you don't have to have any kind of special licensing or anything like that to make makeup products. You just have to make sure all the stuff that goes into it is, like, certified by the FDA as far as ingredients go.
Okay.
So, yeah, eventually figured it out. Started bottling it, and we took it to the biggest Halloween trade show every year, which is in St. Louis. Sold it. Long story short, they kind of promised a lot of things, like you know, whenever this makeup happens, you know, you'll get a cut in on you know the business side of things and commission. Never saw a dime of extra money outside of my payroll, and basically me and the other guys that were doing it, you know, making the makeup, making the props and all that, we were doing all the work. We were making the stuff from scratch, our art, painting it, and I was doing all the makeup pretty much by myself, and we never saw a dime of commission.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the downfall. And then all of a sudden one day they told us, you know, like, well, we don't have enough money to pay all you guys anymore. So they let three of us go, and then the following week the last two guys dipped on them and said, see ya. But in all of that, you know, I learned how to do the makeup, and they never made me, like, sign any kind of a contract. I never told anybody.
No NDA.
Yeah. No, nothing. And I never completely told anybody how to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they kind of screwed me over, I turned around and started my own company.
That's awesome.
I told my wife, you know, like, if we don't take a little bit of money out of our savings account and try this, we're idiots, because it was just getting established at that time. People were getting onto it. People were catching on and starting to really like it. And I, you know, like I said, I've been doing it for so long. I know so many people. So, yeah, we started it, and it just kind of took off like a rocket. And I mean, we're selling all over the country, multiple haunted houses. I signed a contract with Cedar Point this year to be their main makeup provider for their season.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's crazy. And on top of all that, I still have a full-time job as well. So it's a lot of juggling, and it keeps me super busy. But
where did the name come from?
Honestly, I just kind of thought it sounded cool. I wanted to be a little bit different, because there's so many makeup companies, and not even just makeup, but like prop companies that are in the haunted house industry, and all of their names are something FX.
Yeah.
And it's like, I didn't want to be something FX. So I was like, what could I call it to be different? And then, you know, just like a brand that people see and they're like, you know, they know exactly what it is. So I just kind of rolled a bunch of stuff around in my head for a few weeks, honestly, and come up with Dreadworks. Thought it sounded cool, and it worked out.
See, it definitely fits. So what will you be doing up at Cedar Point? For some of us that don't know, Cedar Point is in northern Ohio.
Yeah.
And then it's basically like a Six Flag. I guess that's a common thing.
Yeah, just they have Cedar Fairs is the basically parent company. And they've got theme parks all over the U.S., but Cedar Point was like one of the big main. It might have been the first. I don't know that for sure, but yeah. So basically, I'm just their airbrush makeup supplier. So I make it, bottle it, and they buy it from me, and that's really it. I don't have to go up there, and I don't actually like do the makeup there or anything. I just sell it to them.
Has anybody asked you to consult on how to put it on and how to like?
Yeah, I've had a few haunted houses that have asked about, you know, like classes and whatnot, and it's something that I'm capable of. When I did work for the full-time company, that was part of my job is in the off-season going around to all the haunted houses and training their makeup teams. So I've got like a really good lesson plan and all of that to it's really a kind of a lesson plan that would fit any kind of artist, whether they just started or have been doing it for a long time. It teaches all kinds of different techniques, and it really just focuses on how to make good looking airbrush makeup, basically like in 5 minutes, because when you're in a haunted house, you know, a lot of times there might be five or six makeup artists, but then you're doing, you know, 50 plus actors a night in 2 hours. So speed is like your number one key to getting all that stuff out and making it look good and worthy enough to put into the haunted house. So,
did you have a favorite theme that you did or do?
I don't know. I like trying new stuff every now and again. I mean, a lot of artists in the industry have kind of what they would consider their basic haunted house ghoul look that could kind of just fit anywhere. But I like when haunted houses have like really, really solid theming in certain areas, or maybe their entire haunted house, to where you kind of have to nail down exactly a look. I really like doing kind of like swampy, like earthy, like witch kind of stuff. I think that's a lot of fun, a lot of different textures. And
so, but your paint can do full body, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you done full body?
Yeah. So, we do a few conventions every year, and, we have a booth and everything and sell product. But, also in that booth, we have, live demos that are going on basically throughout the whole show. So I have a lot of friends within the industry that are amazing artists that come out, to these shows and, basically work in our booth. While the show's going on, they'll have a model and do live demos with our airbrush makeup. And so that also shows people what it's capable of. So yeah, we've done quite a few actual full body things over the past year and a half. There's a lot of pictures on the website and whatnot that show all that.
Yeah, that would, how long would a traditional face take and then like a full body take?
A face, if you're really taking time and whatnot, I would say for some of the best looks I've seen out there, they're probably, especially, you know, keep in mind they're working on this during a haunted house time. So they do have, you know, a time limit that they're working with. But I mean, some of the best stuff that I see come out every season, I'd say they're probably taking no more than 20 minutes on a full face. When you're talking full body, a lot of haunted houses aren't doing full body stuff. Number one, you know, it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you just don't have that kind of time when you're trying to work with 60 actors. But a lot of the times, like at the shows when they do full body demos, that's taken anywhere from an hour and a half to maybe 2.5 hours for a full body.
Oh, wow.
So
I always wondered that, because you saw like you've seen a lot of people that have full body, and then you even saw some Sports Illustrated do kind mm-hmm. of airbrush full body. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's something that it's a big selling point at shows. I mean, a lot of people, we'll have a crowd of people like standing around our booth just watching these artists demonstrate this stuff. And it's kind of nice too, because you know, that allows them to see it in action and see what it's capable of, see the colors. So that way you don't have, 50 people at your booth trying to share an airbrush and test it out on their own skin. You know, they don't have to worry about that. They can see it right there while it's happening.
And then you have kids, right?
I have one. Yeah, I have a five-year-old.
Is it boy or girl?
Boy.
Does he want you to do his face during Halloween?
Yeah, yeah. He's starting to get to the age where he is kind of understanding everything a little bit more, and he knows that dad makes makeup. So
has he told you who he wanted to be for Halloween?
Oh yeah, Spider-Man this year.
Oh, that's
which that, he's already got a full costume for.
That's
that,
amazing. So. I figured he would be.
I have painted his face like Spider-Man before though.
That is phenomenal. So you decided out of the worst case scenario to start the company, and how long have you been doing it now for?
We started June of 2022, so about a year and a half maybe.
So
I
you're
guess.
Heading, and then it's just not, and what people don't understand, it's just not based around Halloween.
Oh no, I mean, of course that's the busiest. I mean, my company, I wanted to make sure I specifically targeted and catered to the haunted house industry, because that's what I know, that's what I love, and there's not really many makeup companies out there that specifically cater to that industry. A lot of the makeup companies are trying to get into film, they're trying to cater to like the face painting world, and even the body painting world, because there's specific communities just for that stuff. But my number one audience is the haunted house industry, so that's kind of what I cater to. So yeah, it's it's a year-round thing. I mean, of course, during the season, my busy season is basically July to the beginning of October.
Yeah, because I figured when we talked, we saw each other at Oktoberfest, and I was like, I knew what you were doing. I was like, how's it going to come up on a Wednesday night?
Right.
Because I figured
then at that time, I was pretty well caught up.
Because I figure it's a lot of industry, like when I worked at Hobby Lobby, which I'm not ever going to compare that. But we get Christmas trees the last month of June.
Right.
Like, so we start prepping in June. They're like, why are we getting it? And then it made sense now because we're always, in retail, you're always like two seasons ahead.
Yeah. And, all these haunted houses, they're, well, for the most part, granted, you have those few that wait until the last minute, but the majority of the haunted houses are putting in orders a few months ahead of time for their season to get stocked up. So usually by the time, at least, this is coming from a year and a half of experience so far, but so far it's been right around the beginning of October is when I'm finally getting 100% caught up and able to relax a little bit.
Are you surprised of how much your business has taken off?
Yeah.
At what point in time you're just like, you're ecstatic? And then I remember when our show took off, it's like, oh, this is great. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. I mean,
because social media went up.
Yeah.
You keep this up. And it's like, I mean, AP and I are looking at each other like, bro, we're just two people. We had help from other people,
yeah.
But like, it was a lot to keep up with.
I would say that point hit me probably right around July, mid July, when I had, at any given moment, at least 20 orders to fulfill. And it's like I would knock a chunk out of that list, and the next week it would be right back up again. So it felt like at that time there was no catching up, and it's basically just me. I mean, I'm making it, I'm bottling it. My wife helps with a few aspects.
If they're your kid, child labor laws do not apply.
Right.
My wife did Mary Kay, and then I brought stuff home, and I was like, all right, family fun time.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's kind of when that hit me is just, recently this past summer is it was like, the first year we did it, we were only June to December that, because that's when we started and did well. But I looked at our numbers from last year in July compared to this year, and we were over 200% up. And I was like, holy shit, and it's awesome. It's great. But yeah, it's a lot of freaking work.
Don't forget to pay your taxes.
Exactly. Exactly.
So how scary was it to run your own business? Not from that aspect of it, but to like make it profitable. Like
it was
nerve, because like I said, Steph now does Queen Bee Spa on Main Street. And I know that's one of the things that like not scared her, but it was just like knowing that whether something's successful or not.
Yeah. I mean, it is scary. I'm like I said, when we first started, we just took some money out of our savings, started the company. So, we didn't have a lot riding on it as far as financial goes, but I mean, it was a good little chunk of change. So not only that aspect though, but just the aspect of, this is something I love. This is something I want to succeed. So, and I don't want to let people down. There's a lot of people, a lot of friends of mine that really stand behind me and stand behind the product. So, it was definitely scary as far, especially from the point of time management. I mean, I've got a family, I've got, a house and, adult things, got a full-time job. So I had to balance all of that on top of running this company and making sure I'm taking care of the customers. And, that's honestly my number one priority is customer service, because I can't stand to have people pissed off at me. So I try to get customers' orders out as quick as possible. So, it's scary, but I think we're finally kind of at a point now where we're getting a little bit more comfortable. We got a little bit more of a cushion as far as the financials go to be able to like go to the big trade shows and stuff. And those costs a lot of money to do. I mean, you're in it for the booth costs. You got to pay for a hotel, of course, food and stuff. It costs a lot of money. And, the first year we did that, which was this past beginning of the year in March, it was scary because at that time with the company, we didn't have a bunch of capital, and we damn near ran it dry just to go do this trade show. And I was just telling my wife, just like, trust me, you know, we're going to do well. And we were just a little under my goal of what I wanted to sell at the show. So I was super happy. But we're at a point now with as much as it's grown in the past year and a half that now I don't have to worry so much about going and doing stuff like that to get the name out and get it in front of other people's eyes. So, it still is super busy and keeps me busy, but I feel a lot more comfortable with it now. It's been a learning process.
How long before you do you have a goal when, like, hey, this is all I want to do?
You know, I've been telling people for the past, you know, since it started, that I don't want it to get so big that it has to be the only thing I do. I don't know.
And you bring up a good point, right? Because I've been podcasting a long time, and it got to the point where I was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then AP now does videos for a company. That's his job.
Okay.
To edit and do videos.
I know he was doing like...
he was at Sand and Gravel before that.
Yeah.
Now he does that. And then we were talking. He came over last week, and he was just like, I don't even touch my cameras outside of what.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and that's the whole thing. You think that because you're working technically for someone else, you're working for yourself. But sometimes, and people say, well, you know, if you do what you love for a living, then you not work a day in your life. And I was like, I agree that, but also then at
you learn to hate what you love.
Yeah, it can kill that passion. Yeah. I don't think people understand that. Like, I've done 570 episodes, right?
Yeah,
I'm very proud of that.
Oh yeah.
But also there's times of like, I made a decision. Like I turned 44 in March, which is a little under 6 months. And then I don't think I'll do it past 45.
Oh yeah.
So I set a goal. Like it'll probably be, my last episode will probably be like the day of my 46th birthday. I'll just be like, I'm done.
Right on.
Cause I didn't want to be 46 years old doing a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it gets to be a burden at times, even how it is now. So if it ever did get to that point, I would just be afraid that I would start hating it. And that's what I've been telling people. I don't want it to be a full-time thing. I like the security of having a full-time job and, you know, insurance and all that, and not having to worry about that side of my life. And then this is just a side gig, you know. But... as busy as it's gotten this year, I don't know. It could happen.
Yeah, and it could happen. And then obviously, I think it will. I mean, because like I said, is that aspect of it. Because now with you have the one up there at Cedar Point,
right?
And I think, you know, you'll crush it up there. And then everything's about word of mouth.
Absolutely.
And, so the big trade shows in St. Louis?
That's the big one, yeah.
It's called
Transworld.
St. Louis does not seem like the place that would be.
You know, it's been there for years.
See, I figured it's more of a Vegas thing, too.
Yeah. I don't know. They've been doing it in St. Louis for so long, and I don't know why they've never really... It used to, I think, before St. Louis, it was Chicago.
That makes sense, too. Where at in St. Louis is it at?
It's at... right downtown at the America Center.
Okay.
Center. But part of the reason why it's in St. Louis is because it's kind of central Midwest.
Yeah.
And Midwest of the United States is just a hotbed for haunted houses. I mean, there are more haunted houses within Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan than the rest of the world, honestly, I would say.
That's what white people love to do, man.
They do. White people love haunted houses.
They love scaring people. So one of the things we're going to talk about was, like, what is some stories you have from either working at them, mm-hmm. that you could tell that where you're just like, oh, well, that didn't go as planned.
Man, there's a lot. Of course, you deal with the drunk customers and all the time. And then you've got, you know, my top two, maybe three least favorite type of customer is the drunk customer, the like teen boy customers that try to come through and act like they can beat every actor in the haunted house up.
Well, they don't. Well, they don't play along. Like, there's right. times I wasn't scared, but I wasn't going to be like, "Hey, if you ever touch me or whatever."
Right,
whatever.
Right. And then the third one would be the people that walk through the haunted house and just don't acknowledge whatsoever anything that's going on.
The problem I had with haunted houses was I would want to stop and look at them. Like, wow, that's,
yeah.
I want to. That's yeah. my problem. Like, I'm like, no. Can I, like I love their makeup. I love their yeah. outfits. And I'm like, oh my God, like.
Well, and like from that aspect, like
I struggle with that. And I'm like, they're like, you need to keep going. I'm like, oh.
But they still appreciate that. They still appreciate that kind of a customer. That's what kind of customer I am. When I go to haunted houses, I've been doing it for so long. None of it really scares me. I mean, of course, a good jump scare is going to get me. It's going to get anybody.
It'll get everybody, yeah.
But I love going and just checking out the scenery. Mm-hmm. You know, how much detail have they put into this scene? Of course, the actors, the costumes, the makeup. That's what kind of customer I am. I'm looking at everything, usually with a smile on my face. But a lot, you know, you'll see a lot of the customers that just, you know, stone cold, don't acknowledge anything, don't play along. And it's like, man, why are you even here? Like, the whole goal of a haunted house is to entertain people. A lot of people think you want to scare people. I don't care if they're laughing, crying. You know, if you're entertaining somebody, then that you've done your job.
I'd always be like, look, did you see the detail on that one? I was like, wow, the detail in Beetlejuice was ridiculous.
Right, right.
And then other ones, you'd just be like, wow, they put in no effort.
It happens. And I mean, everybody starts somewhere. There's a lot of haunted houses out there that they're just doing it for fun to get kids involved and whatnot. And that's cool too. But I mean, nowadays it's the big budget, the flashy makeup, costumes, sets. That's what everybody wants. So.
Yeah. I mean, because it's very, I mean, anything that comes along. Haunted mazes. Have you ever been involved in a haunted maze or anything?
I've never been involved. You mean like corn mazes and stuff?
Yeah, corn maze, yeah.
I always hated corn maze. I think every corn maze I've ever done, I've ended up just saying fuck it and walking through the corn and quitting.
Well, I just always think about it because I grew up on a farm. I was just like, how are not people not blowing their ACL, MCL out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it's not exactly the most forgiving ground ever. No,
I never liked corn mazes. I've done some haunted trails here and there out in the woods and stuff.
I like those, and I like the, like I said, the haunted hay rides. I do like that.
Yeah, hay rides can be cool. I have never done a hay ride, actually. It's mainly just been haunted houses and haunted trails.
We took the kids to one over there on Southport where they had like the giant spider that would jump down right above you and stuff like that. The kids enjoyed it, and then I remember when the boys were in high school, there was one almost in a warehouse.
Okay.
And they loved the one in the warehouse.
Yeah. Yeah, I love my favorite kind of haunted houses are, number one, either the ones that are super huge buildings that have super high ceilings, because then, you know, when you have a ceiling that's, you know, I don't know, you know, 18, 20 foot tall, I mean, your level of detail is limitless. I mean, you could build up as high as you want, you know? And so I love those kind of haunted houses that have a lot of room to work with. But then I also love a really good, just super tight haunted house that's, you know, claustrophobic, I guess you could say.
I'm not a fan of that being a large gentleman. If I was skinny, I'd like that, but being a large gentleman...
I mean, yeah, that does have a challenge.
I'm always afraid I'm going to break something.
Right,
and,
right.
So what are the top three characters that you think every haunted house should have?
Should have? Let's see. I mean, okay.
What's the starter pack?
Starter pack for a haunted house? Okay, that's a good question. I'd say somewhere in there you've got to have a chainsaw guy.
Oh, fuck, I mean, yeah. You got to have chainsaw.
That's and usually...
Chainsaw's Charlie's my favorite.
Chainsaw Charlie, yeah.
Some of you will get that.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I think a chainsaw is essential, and you gotta have an actor that really knows how to work it. You know, I've been to so many haunted houses where the chainsaw scare comes and they just start it, look at you, and rev it up a couple times, and then that's it.
I think the scariest one I ever saw was, or one of the ones I was scared was you just heard it.
Oh yeah.
And then like it was like a slow build, and you and then they end up coming out like 15 minutes later. And even realize like, oh, they're just, but you just hear it and you're trying to look for it. So it's, I definitely agree with the chainsaw.
Yeah. One of the ideas we had recently was, you know, a lot of haunted houses put the chainsaw as the finale to chase the groups out of the haunted house.
Is that done to get them out? Like,
I mean, not necessarily.
Not in a bad way to be like, okay, like,
yeah,
it's almost like a timing thing.
Sort of, yeah. But normally just some people are just scared of the chainsaw, man, and just want to run. And that's the best way when they start running. Might as well start running at the end rather than through the middle. When so you're gonna,
gotta take a break.
Right.
On.
So that's part of the thought. But we had the thought of instead of putting the chainsaw at the end, let's put it as soon as you walk in. And that went over really well because nobody expected it. You know, as soon as you walk into the haunted house, you get your greeting or whatever. You walk through a door, boom, you're met with a chainsaw guy. And it worked really well because everybody's so used to it being at the end.
Now, how hard is it to work with a chainsaw as a prop? Like, is it a pain in the ass? Do you have multiple ones?
You've got to have a good one.
Okay.
I can't remember what model it was, but when I ran a chainsaw at Fear Fair, it was always one of the steel.
Okay.
And you got to keep it warm. That's number one key. You know, start it up before the night starts. Let it run for a bit. Keep it warm. Because that's the key, is you got to be able, when you hear a group coming, you got to be able to start that thing first try.
Just keep it lubed, even though you have a chain on there?
No. Okay. No, we don't put a chain. I mean, something that a lot of people do nowadays is they will, so they make, you know, it's, you would think, there's so many things in the haunted house world that people don't even think of that exist. So there's companies out there that make fake bars that have a chain. They look real. Obviously, the chain doesn't move or anything, but you can just bolt that bar onto a regular chainsaw, and then, boom, you've got a chainsaw that looks like it has a chain on it. But, yeah, I mean, you don't have to lube them or anything because there's no chain. So no oil, just gas. You got to keep your gas handy. But yeah, just keep it warm and keep gas in it and make sure you got a good chainsaw that can start every try on the first try, because there's nothing more embarrassing.
Hang on, guys. Hang on.
Yeah.
Can you guys go back?
I can't tell you. I mean, it happens to anybody that runs a chainsaw.
It does. It happens anytime you work with a prop, right? We just had the recording software drop during this, and I've done it a million times.
Right.
So.
I can't tell you how many times, you know, group's coming and it's been a super busy night. It's just been group after group, and maybe I run out of gas, or maybe it's been 20 minutes since I've seen a group and I haven't started it in between. So here comes the group. I pull that thing and it just, and then I can't tell you how many times. It's always on the group that is like, that's their favorite part. And they're always just like, oh man.
I would be. So what's another one? Number two.
Okay, so we got the chainsaw guy. Man, you gotta throw in like a good some kind of a doctor-esque or a medical type character in there somewhere.
I can see that.
The medical stuff and the asylum stuff just really gets people.
Do you think with the influx of Harley Quinn's popularity, that kind of took over from the regular doctor aspect? Because growing up, it was always crazy doctor that was doing experiments.
Yep.
Someone on the table, they'd be pulling something out or sawing something off or holding up an arm. Or usually, sometimes the doctor had pretty good humor, actually.
Yeah.
They were scary.
That's always my favorite doctor, is the one that can be quick and witty, and
they always had a weird like
yeah. But yeah, the doctor stuff and the medical and asylum stuff just goes over so well. I think it just makes people feel
we already hate the doctor anyways,
right?
Those and copays are a bitch.
Yeah. But when you can take a set and make it an asylum or something and just make it look as nasty and filthy, and to the point where people don't even want to touch the walls. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I think really just creeps people out, just the aesthetic of it. But yeah, doctor-esque type character, I think, is a big one.
They'd always say, like, oh my God, like, he lost his head over this, and he'd have the like. And I'm just like, that's cheesy, but that's good stuff, Chuck.
Oh yeah. And then another, I'd say number three, every haunted house has got to have it, and a lot of people are going to talk crap about it. At least in the haunted house industry, people talk down on it, but it gets good scares. Is the slider? Have you seen these at haunted houses?
No.
The sliders are a new thing, kind of, that have been getting bigger and bigger. So you're going to have a character. It could be any style of character. And they're going to run at you, and they're going to drop down on their hands and knees.
Oh, they create the sparks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen those. I've seen those on TikTok. And then at first I was just like, what are they doing? And then I saw they were dressed up, and they would slide at you in the dark, and then the sparks would fly up.
So that's what we call in the haunted house industry a slider. And a lot of people try to do it. There are some that are better than others.
Because they even have metal gloves, too, right?
Yeah,
to create the sparks.
Like they take, you know, just a pair of, like, I don't know, work gloves. And then you're going to take, a lot of times they'll take, like, the biggest, thickest washer they can find, put it on the palm of the glove, and then they're going to take, it's pieces of, like, electrical conduit, like the... They're like the butts of, I don't know exactly where they go. I'm not an electrician, but anyways, you can buy them at Home Depot, but they're the perfect size to fit on the fingers, and you glue them onto the fingers, so you got the metal fingers, you got your padding on your palm, and then a lot of the guys nowadays are taking, basically, it's like, there's some guys that make them, but they're like these little cartridges that you can get that are just flint. And that's how they make the sparks. And then kind of the same process with the knee pads. You know, you get a good sturdy set of knee pads. And then some guys like to do the metal on there. But then some companies, there's people out there that make recaps where it's basically just a really thick plastic cap that you can put and switch out on your knee pads. And
I just saw it yesterday. And then I saw it yesterday, but they were doing it in the daylight, like practicing.
Yeah.
And but they were doing it to people as they were walking around, and it wasn't just, they were just showing them what it was. So
right. Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. A lot of people in the haunted house industry make fun of the sliders.
I can kind of see why after that video.
They are their own community within the haunted house industry.
Well, they're very similar to the rollerblading community and the skating community.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because they were just, they were dressed up. They have their own they have their own makeup culture, I saw. They have their own hair culture, the way they dress.
Yeah.
They almost dress like, God, what's a good movie to reference on? They actually dress like Back to the Future 2. They dressed how Biff and those guys were dressing.
Yeah.
Because they had the big knee pads on, sliding around. But, I mean,
But I got to say, as much crap as people give them, I can attest that they get some of the best scares out of people because people don't expect it, you know?
Especially when the sparks are real. That's the point. The sparks are real. Those are your three. I like the doctor, like the chainsaw. Sliders... I can see that one, but I like a good dead whore.
Okay, yeah,
you know
that's good. Yeah.
Like they have the tattered dress, they have the tilted head, and then they just stare at you, and not every group they'll say something to you.
Yeah,
I noticed that. Like it's not like hey, the first person they say something. If you're in a group of like five, they may hit you on the fourth person.
Oh yeah.
And then you just I'm not saying they were whore, but
yeah, I mean
now they would be called heroin chic.
Yeah,
but I always enjoyed them because it's just like, when's this bitch gonna say something?
Oh yeah, yeah, that's a good one. And there's I mean just like I'm trying to think of like a good character that I like a movie character that I could kind of grab that. A lot of them base that aesthetic off of. As of recent, have you seen not the newest Evil Dead, but the one they did in like 20?
It kind of also came out from The Ring too.
Yeah,
like the dead in the eyes look, and then like the tilted head and stuff like that. I like when they get little kids, little kid, not maybe not little kids, but little maybe little people. to do stuff, because little people scare people out naturally, and then when they're running around, like, you hear pitter patter, you hear,
oh yeah, that's horrifying.
Yeah. So speaking of that, it is Halloween time, and what is, all right, so if you're, if they're like, you're with your wife, and she's like, hey babe, let's watch your three favorite horror movies.
Okay.
What are you watching?
Okay. Number one would probably be, and I was just having a conversation with somebody yesterday about this. My number one is a toss-up between 1974 Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original.
That's one of mine, because when the guy's in the van playing with his plate in his head.
Yep, yep.
And my youngest son, Colin, watched it. He met the curly hair kid. Oh, he nice. He's like, man, that was really short. And I was like, yeah, it was considered almost like a snuff film at the time.
Yeah.
Because it was like shot like...
Well, and it was... My favorite thing about that movie is that it doesn't... Like, it doesn't get lost in all of the, like, bullshit that all the other Haunted House movies, all the suspense. Like, you've got maybe 10 minutes of, like, normal shit at the beginning of that movie, and then it's just balls to the walls the rest of the movie.
And then I remember Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 with Dennis Hopper, and I'm, as a kid, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm excited because he had the two miniature chainsaws. And then I was just like, as I was like, this is fucking dumb.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, anything that come after, at least back then, the original, like 2 and... What was it, like Next Generation?
Yeah, with Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, they were so...
Then there was one with a remake, another remake with Jessica Biel.
So, oh, I will say this. The 2003 remake with Jessica Biel, I love. But the Texas Chainsaw, it's a toss-up for me because I like the 1974 original for the grittiness and how raw it was. But the 2003 movie, in my opinion... is the most terrifying version of Leatherface. I mean, he's just scary as shit in that movie. But then, like, just the cinematography in that movie is phenomenal. The color palette that they used and some of the shots. So that's kind of a toss-up for that one.
That's ranked number 5, according to Rotten Tomatoes, is the scariest movies of all time.
Is this 03 or the original?
OG, 74.
Nice. And then... I've got to go one of my other top three, and this is in no particular order. OG Halloween. I mean, that's probably
so Texas Chainsaw's mine, and then 1978 Halloween is mine, and that's ranked number 7 on the top 10 list.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, let me
of those are the ones I go to.
Let me get to 3, and then we'll see, because I know there's no way in hell my number 3 is not number 1, but I'm really curious as to what number 1 is on that list. My number 3 for my favorite horror movie, you're probably going to laugh, but this movie has stuck with me since I was a kid the first time I ever saw it, and I just love it for everything it is. It's campy, it's goofy, it's really not that scary, but I love it. Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
I know what you're talking about, yeah. It is not on the top 10 list.
Probably not.
The Toxic Avenger scared me as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, toxic waste, and then, like, it was just something, I don't know. I had an older cousin that would torture me and then just say that, like, there's toxic waste around you. You're going to turn into him. And, like, I washed my hands, like, 30,000 times a day.
It's probably...
Like, it caused... To the point where it caused anxiety where I wouldn't eat.
Damn.
Yeah, I remember being a Dairy Queen, and going to Dairy Queen was like going to St. Elmo's for us. And in Columbus, not Seymour, Columbus, where they had food.
Yep.
Chicken tenders and fries, didn't eat anything because I thought my hands were covered in toxic waste.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, talk about movies had an effect on me. Killer Clowns from Outer Space, that one is great. The one I would go with as my number 3, if they're like, hey, let's sit down and watch the 3 scariest movies. There's two that I would watch. Either The Shining or the original Exorcist.
Yeah, those are both great.
So the top 10 list that they have on Rotten Tomatoes, which, you know, you can say what you want to say on Rotten Tomatoes. Right. Number 10 is 2017 It.
Okay. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it.
Number 9 is Insidious from 2010.
I enjoyed that.
Number 8 is Sinister 2012.
That one was fantastic.
Number 7 is 1978's Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Absolutely.
Man, she was sexy.
Yeah.
Go watch Trading Places. The Ring, 2002.
Okay.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 1974. Number four is The Shining from 1980. Yes, that's when I was born. The Conjuring, 2013. This one I didn't really know about. Hereditary?
Dude, you need to watch it.
2018. Makes a huge splash. Writer-director Ari Aster makes a huge splash with his feature director debut, a dark family drama about the nature of grief, couched with a supernatural horror film. Toni Collette. Ooh, I know Toni Collette. Earned her spot in the pantheon of great Oscar snubs with her slowly ratcheted up to 11 performances to bedeviled mother, Annie. The movie's biggest shock came, of course, well, we won't spoil it. Ooh, let me put that on there. And number one's 1973, The Exorcist.
Okay. Pretty good list, I would say. I will say Hereditary, give it a watch. When it came out, I heard so much about it, and everyone was just talking about how it's, you know, one of the greatest horror movies of our time. And I was like, how good can it be? You know, how scary can it be? And I will say, I've never watched a movie that gave you that sense of just dread so much as Hereditary. Just the shit that they do in that movie and the ambience of the whole movie is just, it's crazy. But definitely give that one a watch because it's one of the best ones of the past 10 years, I would say.
We had Friday the 13th Part 2 on a Laserdisc. That's from 1981.
Nice.
It was the Laserdisc with the cartridge, not the actual disc by itself. Wow. So there's two different ones.
I don't think I've ever seen one in person, to be honest with you.
I don't think I've ever seen one. All right, so here's some other ones because I love movies.
Oh, yeah.
Sleepy Hollow, 1999, was ranked in the top 50. Scream, 2022 was ranked 47th. Thanksgiving, Pet Cemetery. They have it ranked 45th on IMDb.
Wow.
And these are based on user votes. Or,
gotcha.
I'm sorry, whatever, member votes.
Gotcha.
Dark Harvest, 2023. The Conjuring, Hereditary, The Pope's Exorcist.
See, I hated that.
Dr. Sleep, which I remember that one.
Yeah.
It, A Nightmare on Elm Street, 1984. Scream 6, 2023. Evil Dead Rise, 2023.
Yep.
Renfield, 2023. Friday the 13th, 2009. Hey, by the way, Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah.
That was funny as shit. He destroys the radio. And then he's boxing the black guy up top.
Yeah.
And you thought, and you knew he didn't have a chance.
Right, right.
And then, like, he is putting in work. And then he uppercuts his head off.
Yeah, yeah.
The Haunted Mansion. Ma. Oh, yeah, I remember Ma.
I didn't see Ma. Oh, wait, yeah. That was the one,
yeah.
The teenagers. Yeah. Yep. Me and my wife just watched that. It was interesting.
Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, 2023.
Oh, my Lord.
The Conference, The Nun, Pearl, When Evil Lurks, Halloween, 1978. Us was messed up.
Us was cool.
They have the Lost Boys on here.
Really? Lost Boys is great. I love Lost Boys.
Man, when that dude in the saxophone. Hey, by the way, Corey Feldman is singing that song.
Oh, yeah?
When he tours, he sings that song, Thou Shalt Not Cry.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, but when that guy, or Cry Little Sister.
Yeah, Cry Little Sister. Yeah.
When that guy's playing that saxophone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's one of the best scenes.
And I'm like, what are we doing?
Right. But it's just great.
And Kiefer Sutherland at his best. Mm. The Corey's at their best.
It's a great movie.
Oh, man.
I mean, I've got a Lost Boys tattoo.
That's so top. Yeah. Lost Boys is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Oh, yeah.
Scream, 1996. It Lives Inside. Trick or Treat. Really, Meg the Trench. Come on, stop it.
Oh, man.
Saw.
I never got into Saw.
I got into the first one.
I mean, I've seen a few, but it just, it's not my kind of horror. It's just gore porn.
Get Out's good.
Get Out was good.
There's VHS, The Boogeyman, Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus.
These all can be Halloween movies. X, a 1979, a group of young filmmakers set out to catch an adult film or make an adult film.
Okay.
I
heard that.
Isn't that the one that has Jenna Ortega and Brittany Snow, Kid Cudi?
I haven't heard of this.
I don't know. Friday the 13th, 1980. Even though that's the, his mom killing in,
yep.
in that one.
The OG.
And the second one, he finds her head. He keeps her head in a tool yep. shed. When Jason jumps off out of the water.
Oh, dude. That's one of the most terrifying. Let's go over that whenever we get done with this is like best jump scares you've seen in a horror movie. Because I've got a couple.
Oh, when a stranger calls back.
When it, oh, wait, wait. Is that when a stranger calls like the OG when a stranger calls?
I watched it in 96, 94.
Okay. I think that was the OG.
All right, then. So spoiler alert, if you don't like, if you don't want to know, fast forward like 5 minutes because I ramble. All right, so he basically, in the very beginning of the movie, mm-hmm. there's a babysitter watching two kids.
Gotcha.
And then somebody knocks on the door, wants to come in the house.
Okay. I don't. I've seen the remake of When a Stranger Calls, but I don't think I've ever seen the OG.
And then, because me and one of my friends watched it on a date in high school, and I was like, this is a great idea.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember her name the whole night either. I kept having his buddies, one of my buddies' sister,
yeah,
ask like, hey, ask her what her name is. She knew, yeah. Anyways, so I think it's when it calls, stranger calls back. But anyways, he's a ventriloquist.
Okay.
He's actually inside the house the whole time, throwing his voice to the outside.
Oh,
those kids disappear. And the babysitter never forgave herself.
Man.
And then he's, and then like, then the babysitter lives on the second floor. And then the couple of kids that were abducted close
okay.
were in the closet. So there's a jump scare in the very beginning where you just see it's that. And then this ties into what you do. He breaks into the detective's house.
Okay.
Or whoever it is, the lady's house. And she's actually in Scrooged. She plays like the lady, in one of the ghosts in Scrooge.
I'm sure if I saw her, I
would. Yeah. And that. So he paints himself to match her brick wall.
Oh, man.
And he opens his eyes and you see it.
That's awesome.
And then he starts putting his thumbs in her eyes to blind her. And this, and then it's like private investigator comes in and she's like, shoot at the fucking wall. And she just starts shooting. Then he finally drops. But at the very beginning, it's one of the greatest jump scenes. Out.
My number one best jump scare of all time is Exorcist 2.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. So the scene where it's like the nurse, she's at like the, it's, so it's like a long shot of a hallway in the hospital and the nurse is like on the phone at by, and the camera angle never changes. It's a long shot. She's on the phone and she hangs up and walks down the hall into like the first room on the left, walks into the room and the camera angle's still the same the whole time. She turns around and walks out of the room. And as she's walking out of the room, this like person, and I think it's like a white sheet or something, is just immediately behind her and like walks, follows her right down the hall. And it comes out of nowhere. And it's such a quiet scene and you don't expect anything to happen that I think a lot of people have regarded that as one of the best jump scares. But I agree. It's phenomenal.
I actually looked up some of the best jump scares.
There's also one in Sinister, like the lawnmower scene in Sinister. I don't know if you've seen Sinister.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, you know how it shows like all the like home video footage in that movie multiple times? There's one of like a lawnmower where he's like running the guy over with a lawnmower or something.
Yeah.
That one was a good jump scare.
Maximum Overdrive scared me as a kid too. That's a Stephen King movie.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
the vending machine.
Yep.
Not the trucks. Like the guy literally got like hit with like Pepsi's flying out at him. Because we love Transformers. I'm like, are these Transformers?
Oh yeah.
Let's see here. I was trying to see some that may be universally known. These are some of the best jump scares, and I was looking at it. I was trying to think of some that I really remember. Jason jumping out of the lake was really good.
That was a great one.
I just passed them up. They said Insidious is one of the best jump scares.
The red face demon thing.
They said 2022 Smile.
Smile was good.
Has the most jump scare scenes in horror films that year through the means that there were quite a few impressive ones.
Smile was a pretty good movie.
It.
The original or
This is 2017.
What scene?
I don't know, but Candyman.
Candyman was good.
Yeah, I still don't say Candyman more than The Ring.
I see. That's one of those movies that I just never sucked into, really.
They said Seven from 1995.
Was that the Jim Carrey movie?
No, Seven is Brad Pitt. What's in the box?
Yes, yes, I'm sorry.
It says, when there's more realistic in drama in its subject, Seven is widely regarded as a horror film for its... It was a horror film.
Yeah.
It says, however, the dead body wasn't completely dead, and a single startling cough was enough to shock viewers and everyone in the room. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, I remember that. Signs.
Ooh, The Window. That one got me when I was a kid, dude. To this day, that's the... Like, and here's the thing I tell my wife all the time. Nothing gets me... Like, horror movies, I could watch them all day. Movies that really give me the creeps are, like, Little Gray Men alien movies. Like, Signs. That movie creeps me the hell out.
Because also when they're watching the footage in Brazil and you see him walk by and he's glued to it.
Oh yeah.
Signs is a great one.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
Jaws. I mean, Jaws was when we were younger. I don't know Play Dead.
I don't know that either.
Paranormal Activity. Yeah, we know about that one.
I never liked those.
What Lies Beneath?
I feel like I've heard it, but
when a running bath to drown his paralyzed wife, Ford is terrified when she sees the ghostly reflection of his former... Oh, yeah. I remember that.
I don't know if I remember that.
That was in 2000.
Okay.
So I actually watched Blair Witch Project in Maryland where it was filmed.
Oh, that's awesome.
I watched it opening weekend, and this was like 1999 when it came out.
Was it just happenstance or like...
Well, Steph's from Delaware, so we went out to see her friends.
Okay.
We went to the movies. I bought a navy blue... Adidas tracksuit, which I still have, and we went and watched it. I just remember closing my eyes during it, so I can, because there's parts. Blair Witch Project was like one of the best generic.
Oh yeah,
the way it was filmed.
Well, because everybody thought it was real.
Yeah, you know?
I mean, and the way that they had the actors like sign NDAs and everything. And
you couldn't find the actors,
right?
And then at the end, you just see him standing in the corner.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, that was creepy as shit. Ooh. Yeah.
So that one really got me. Is that one? I think Blair Witch is probably my top one.
Did you ever see the second one?
I don't know.
Dog shit. So bad. It's not even close to being like the first one.
Any low budget movie is pretty good. Like, because if you go look at, Blair Witch Project is beautifully made. Because it's like you're waiting for the jump scare, and you get the jump scare, but it's not a jump scare.
Right.
it's him in a corner because they talk about it. That's a great movie. Because you can have stuff like Jason smash people against the wall and Freddy and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, for instance, the scene in Blair Witch where you're standing in the corner.
Yep.
So you know that, like the feeling that made you feel when you saw that.
It went from my lower back up.
So... That movie Hereditary I was telling you about, so many scenes like that in that movie.
See, it's not
a jump scare. It's just like it gives you that feeling of just like dreadfulness.
Psycho, 1960. We haven't talked about that. That's a great
classic.
I didn't mind the Hereditary. I didn't mind the one with Vince Vaughn because he killed Anne Hesh. That has nothing to do with it. Just like she went away. So, what about, M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong?
Yeah.
Some of his were pretty good.
Yeah. I remember,
The Village was hilarious.
I remember I was young and I watched The Village in theaters.
Yeah.
And I remember even at that age being pissed off at the end of that movie.
Yeah.
Like, they're just guys in costumes? What?
Yeah.
Like,
and people are dying guys in costumes.
Right.
And, that one, I mean, honestly, some of the other jump scares like Terminator 2.
Yeah.
When T2 would jump up and grab him. Carrie. Carrie. Whew.
Carrie's good.
Carrie's a good one. We talked about Sinister.
I remember the first time I ever watched the original Carrie. I was amazed at the amount of just full frontal nudity from a woman that was in the beginning of that movie.
Oh, I know.
Just in the showers. And it's like at that time.
Yeah,
like how, like that's crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's a million great scary movies, but like there's a lot of jump scares, but a lot of the movies is stuff that will stick with you to your everyday, like stick with you if you go somewhere like Steph with Jaws in the ocean, like that stuck with her.
Oh yeah,
had a huge impact on her. You know, Children of the Corn, because we grew up around corn while we're in the Midwest.
Oh yeah, but, dude, when I was young, I remember just like catching Children of the Corn on like Sci-Fi or something.
Yep.
But then like I remember, you know, Midwest Indiana this time of year, cornfields are everywhere
and they're tall,
and it creeped me out as a kid, you know.
Yeah, because we would go out and if we wanted to do something we weren't supposed to do, we would go out Southern Jackson County,
yeah,
and then out in the cornfields or whatever,
just dying of alcohol poisoning in a cornfield somewhere.
Yep. And I took a girl in a cornfield once. I hope she eventually got out of there. I don't know. But I just remember, like, anytime we went to cornfield, like, we would just run out and nothing was chasing us. It was just that feeling like, I don't want to be here. It's still like even being in the barn in the middle of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, growing up on, like, one of the scariest things is, and they're like, wow, you live in Indianapolis. I know it could get violent up here. But, like, being in the barn or on a farm, it's still some. What about, you know what else was a great ending? Was the very first, what was it? It had Long. Justin Long was in it.
Oh, Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah. Like the ending of that one. That one was like.
That was good. The OG Jeepers Creepers was great.
Because they hit him so well.
Yeah. I mean,
now he's out in broad daylight and like he has fashion sense now.
The past two have been laughable how bad they were.
Yeah.
The second one, it was okay with the bus and all that. But the OG was great movie.
And the third one was like. About the hand, right? That was the third one, and they were younger.
I think I just remember watching it, and like I remember being excited when I saw they were making it, because like, oh, they're bringing Jeepers Creepers back, and I remember I watched it with my wife, and like it was so bad that we were literally laughing, and it was really disappointing.
That's the one that needs to be remade. They remade right there by like just making a snuff film, dirty, gritty. And stuff like that. Even some suspenseful movies, though, have turned out to be like some scary movies.
Oh yeah,
and that's what they said. Talking about Seven and things like that. So, but we're gonna wrap this up.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it's the season for Halloween.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people love Halloween, and I enjoy Halloween. It's a fun time of year. And things like that. But what we're going to do is tell them where they can find you at, social media-wise, website, and things like that.
Yeah, so all social media is, the tag is DreadworksFX. Website, DreadworksFX.com. And that's where you can check out what we do. You can buy all the products we sell on there. We're trying to grow the YouTube a little bit. I've been trying to do little videos when we go to shows and stuff, and kind of feature the makeup demos and stuff, just kind of like some cinematic stuff. So trying to grow that. Facebook does not like YouTube links whatsoever. So,
no, they usually don't.
Yeah, so that's been a struggle. But yeah, basically anywhere online, if you just at DreadworksFX, you'll find us.
That's awesome. And then, like I said, is definitely glad you came up to hang out. I think, you know, like I said, now that's a little bit slower for you.
I'm glad we ran into each other at Oktoberfest.
Yeah, I made a trip home, which is short, and I usually don't go home that often, even though we have an office there, but it's not one I have to visit that often. But Mom still lives there. Craig still lives there. Craig's a big horror fan, so I know he'll enjoy that, and he'll listen to this and argue with me. He'll be like, why can I come up and talk about horror films? I mean, he's a big Jason, Freddy versus Jason. Some of those got so cheesy. Jason in Space.
Oh, gosh. Jason X.
Yeah. I'm waiting for Jason. Waiting for Jason versus the Turtles. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
Bring it on.
I think Turtles in a haunted house would scare the shit out of me.
Yeah, I mean... That's
just the size
good
of
thought.
Them.
I mean, if you could do like, I think it was like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 or 3, like the 90s one.
Yeah.
They had like that evil turtle that was a bad guy.
Yeah.
He was terrifying.
Oh, yeah, they did. And then also Casey Jones.
Yep, Casey Jones.
So like I said, I appreciate you coming up.
Yeah, man.
Like I said, we have some projects in the work. Lemon Drops in the works with Josh Berry and Jared Beatty. A couple other more guys from Seymour. We still have Fresh and Clean coming out every Monday. And so make sure you check those out. And let's see here. That was my eerie, scary music. That's about as scary music as I can get.
Hey, that's good enough for me, man.
I enjoy scary music. So like I said, Mason, thanks for stopping by. And then check out the episodes. Follow us on Facebook, whatever, TikTok, and all that other stuff. And then we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for having me.
Always, always welcome.
Absolutely.